Well, this morning, I want to jump back into our series, so I'll get moving back into our series. This morning, I want to speak to you on a message about the true test of faith. And there's something about what I love about the book of James is it's walking us through, as we're going through verse by verse, we're going to be walking through a series of tests, a series of ways that we can evaluate our faith, and ways that will help us to navigate when we have trials come our way, which is guaranteed in life, trials of differing heights of degree of difficulty, all the way from going through moments of losing the loved ones to you name everything, something happening in your marriage, something happening at work, because we're guaranteed of one thing. We're always going to have a trial somewhere near us. We're either walking into one, we're either in the midst of one, or maybe we're coming out the other side. And in the midst of those trials, we're going to have moments of temptations and temptation of different points that will even could potentially challenge us on how our view and our faith and how we look at the Lord. And so this morning, as we go into this part, I'm going to back up one verse, basically kind of like getting a running start. So I'll back up one verse from what Pastor Jerry did last week and get us running forward. And as we look at this message, a true test of faith. So look at James chapter 1. We'll start off in verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks in the perfect law and the law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Lord, I pray you help me and help us all today that we would be hearers of your word, but then also doers. Let us not lose sight of that. And so, Lord, today I pray you help us to be doers of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody say,
amen.
Amen. Look at your neighbor. Thank them for looking at a mirror this morning. So just let them know, thank you for looking good. See, mirrors, here's a good thing about mirrors. Mirrors are a good thing. One of the best inventions, forget the iPhone, mirrors are a great thing. When you think about it, it saves you a lot of embarrassment. There's parts, when you're looking in, you can, for the guys, we can forget the part of the face that we somehow missed shaving and we don't know how we did it. All the way to realizing we've misaligned buttoning our shirt. Maybe ladies, it's part of didn't get the dress zipped up all the way or buttoned all the way. You just never know. Really embarrassing moments. And the book of James and it's really going to be fun to this morning, is that as we look into this chapter, James gives us a way to help the Word of God to really digest it in our life, that the Word of God will actually function like a mirror to help us really see the reality of where things are at. It's one of the embarrassing parts about a mirror is mirrors don't lie as much as we wish they would. And far too many people, when it comes into our faith, when it comes down to how we live it out, don't take time to really evaluate and examine their faith. And it's sad. There's moments we should constantly take moments to really reevaluate, how is our faith doing? How is my growth and my relationship with Jesus? What's the vitality of that faith? And so this morning, James really, in this passage, is going to get, like he has already, he's going to give us a little bit of a wake-up call. Because eternity is too important that if we don't take time to contemplate and think, even of aspects, because this can affect our eternal destiny, really. Because if we just become hearers of the word, as we're going to discover, it's really easy to, you just hear it, but if you don't act, if you don't allow that word of God to work in you to the point of coming out of your life, here's the part. You basically end up with a dead religion. And that will give you nothing. It won't feed you. It won't guide you. When temptations and trials come, you will be literally pushed at the waves of your emotions or the pressures that you're going through. And too many people make the mistake of not taking time to really reflect and contemplate their faith, how their growth, what they're trusting in. Are you fully anchored in trusting Jesus alone, not only for your salvation, but to lead and guide you through the situations that you're facing? And that's what James starts to bring us to today. And I think too many people often make a mistake too, that they don't accurately assess their relationship with the Lord. And some points when they don't do it, then what you tend to do, if you don't take that time to assess that relationship yourself, what you end up doing is you either look to someone else and how they're living. In other words, you start to do comparison living. And that's not good. Or you just kind of live oblivious and just think that somehow life will work out and you'll be okay and just get through it. And that's not what God has for you. He wants you to know and to walk confidently in all that you have. So this morning, I want to speak to you on how you can evaluate your heart to see if your faith is real, genuine, and that you have that saving faith, basically a true test of faith. So James gives us three things that we're going to quickly walk through this morning. He gives us a warning, an illustration, and a promise. Three things that he gives us this morning. And so I'd like to drill into that. First of all, the warning, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see the warning here, there's a huge difference between hearing the word and doing the word. A good way to apply, even in the Greek, of that of this word of on the hearer's part, think of it in terms of this, of like an auditor. If you've ever been in a college class, I didn't even know it until I was at North Central that you could do it. But I'd be in a class, and I'm looking at somebody, and we're talking, hey, did you get that assignment done? Did you do that paper? And they're like, oh, I didn't have to do that. And that's one of those moments I'm like, where did I get on the wrong bus? And that's where they explain, no, oh, I'm just auditing the class. And I'm like, you can do that? You can audit the class? You don't have to take the class? Like, all the homework? And they're like, yeah, but I don't get credit for it. And I went, oh, okay, well, go ahead and audit. I want the diploma. But yet, here's the part, is that if we are not allowing the word, being doers of the word, and being hearers only, basically what you are is an auditor. You listen to the teaching, but you don't do the homework. You don't do the outside assignments. So here's the deal. They don't take responsibility for the information being taught. They just take it in, information stored, it's gained, but then it's not applied. It's not wrestled with. And I feel like there's too many people in the American church. And for us, if we're praying for a great awakening to come back to America, if we're praying for God's great awakening to occur in this region again, then we cannot be a church that is just of hearers of the word, but be people that do it. We have far too many people that are great at listening. And this is the amazing part. They're faithful to attend a class. They will show up. They will listen. They'll be in agreement with what's taught, but they don't own the information. Are you allowing God's word to own your heart? Are you allowing God's word to penetrate you, to allow him to create and do the work in you that he longs to do? Don't merely listen to God's word. Live it. See, God cares that we grasp this warning and the significance of it, because the consequences of missing it, God goes to great lengths to make sure that his purposes and plans are crystal clear for us to as we evaluate our faith. So if you're taking notes, I hope you are, I want you to write down some of these references, because these are clear warnings to the warnings for us to be doers and not hearers only. Doers of the word, and it comes out strong in Scripture. Here's one. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And by this we know that we have come to know him. If we keep his commandments, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. How's that for some strong talk? And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. In other words, we need to walk like Jesus walked. Look at John chapter 15, verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. John 14, verses 23 through 24, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. Look back at John, look at John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. By this it is evident who are children of God. Who are the children of the devil? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Pretty straight. Nor is the one who does not love his brother. So see, it's not only how are you practicing your relationship. When I say practicing, living out your relationship or practicing your religion, there's a big difference. Living out your faith and practicing a religion is dramatically different. And this is what this passage is nailing today. And it's just not only left off there. Here it goes into, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So how we treat each other, how we respect one another, how we speak of one another. Hello? Are we encouraging one another? Are we praying for one another? Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. See, there's going to be a lot of people who will call out, Lord, Lord. Hey, Lord, remember me? Yeah, I went to Calvary Church. Going to church is not going to get you to heaven. A relationship with Jesus will. It's all about what we celebrated with Harvey yesterday. It's an admonishment to us to look at, are we going through the motions or are we living a live faith? So James not only gives us a warning, but secondly, he gives us a great illustration. Look at it in verses 23 through 24. It's a powerful one. It's because he gives us a picture. This is what's so good. He not only gives us this warning, but now he gives us a picture of it, of what does a hearer only, an auditor, look like? Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. Narcissistic. Looking in the mirror and sadly walks away and can't remember what he looks like. Now, we've done that at times, right? Okay, if you haven't, I have. There's just parts. Look good. One more time. Yep, okay. And there's parts that in this, James gives us this great, incredible illustration for, look at that, verse 24, for he looks at himself and goes away and forgets what he's like. So this is why I'm so thankful for mirrors, because it is better than the light bulb. Because I can't tell you how many times there's just moments where you just think you've got everything squared away, and sure enough, it's not. And it saves that countless times of embarrassment. But God is basically saying this, the mirror is the Word of God. And because God loves you, because God cares for you, because he's kind and gracious and compassionate, he wants you to look into the mirror of his Word. Because he wants you to know that even when he sees something off, he wants to grow and correct that, not to embarrass you, but to grow you, to know you even more intimately. And sadly, when people aren't doing the Word of God, just hearing it, sadly, they lose out on so much of God's love, so much of His revelation. And that's why we need the mirror. We need the mirror because it'll help us avoid the embarrassing moments, like moments that we see at Walmart. Pastor Stacy knows what I'm saying when I'm thinking of that. Yesterday, we were walking our cart out. You always have Walmart sightings? We had one yesterday. Guy was walking his cart, and his shorts were probably three-fourths of the way down. And all I could think of is my college roommate, because he spoke in Marinette High School, Menominee High School on Friday. And he has this one line, especially if he was walking with us, I could tell you what he'd say. He would he would say it loud enough so that person could hear him. Say no to crack. Sorry. And so, you know, that's the part I wish. Yeah, you just kind of wish, pull up the pants. Pull up the shorts. But all the different embarrassing moments, that's why we need the mirror. And there's points we need God to show us those embarrassing moments. Because there's moments, literally, I know that gentleman. I mean, that's where Stacy's going, don't you guys kind of realize that? You know, talking to us. And I'm like, honey, sometimes we just don't, sadly. And there's parts, that's why we need the mirror. Because in all of us, actually, there's moments that we won't see it all. No matter how good or well-intentioned. And that's why we need God's word to give us that incredible reflection so that we can see truly what God wants us to see. Because the amazing part is the truth of the mirror is not lying. And so are we willing to be a leader, a doer of the word, not just a hearer, to be able to say, God, reflect your truth in my life. No matter how painful, no matter how inconvenient, let me grow and be the man or woman of your character that you are calling me to be. So not only does God's word help us, there's a final thing I want to share with you this morning, because we've caught the warning, we've got the illustration, then it comes with a wonderful promise, though. Look at it in verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So what does it say? Blessed. It says blessed. God wants to bless you. He wants to favor you. He wants to honor you. He wants his blessing in your life. He wants to shower his power, his presence in your life. But his blessing is activated by action and the implementation of his truth. You can't short-circuit it. If you just try to contain it, you're losing it. Its power, its strength in your life, it will do you no good unless you allow the word of God to be active. And I love how when it says in that first part, but the one who looks into, the Greek word for into gives this great word picture in the Greek. And I want you to think of it. So, and you've probably seen your own kids, for those who have kids. And for those who are kids, you can remember yourself doing this. But there's moments, if you could think of maybe like a four-year-old, maybe a three-year-old, and you see something crawling on the ground. And you walk right up and you squat right over it. Like you get down, maybe it's a caterpillar, maybe it's something else, you know, something crawling, a spider. And you look at it and you're just kind of mesmerized by it. And you're watching it work. Watching it do its thing. Another way of a picture would be our dog Oliver. All right, our dog Oliver, when he sees something kind of strange, he's going to go investigate it. And so our dog has this really cute habit. We call it nose bump. So like when he even just to acknowledge that he's by us, he'll walk by us in the kitchen and he'll just tap his nose right up against our leg just to let you know, hey, I'm right here. And so when he sees something crawling around the ground, or sometimes we've had toys that you can wind up and go across the floor, he gets up to it and he's looking at it, barking at it, but then he also nose bumps it. He's sniffing it, But the nose bump is the real test. If he can nose bump it and it doesn't do anything back, then it's like, okay, we're good. And this is what God wants us to do is don't just, see, when you're hearing, you're going to do the first glance. When you're a doer of the word, you're going to be looking intently. This is where your posture is like, God, speak to me today. God, this is cool. This is amazing. Teach me. Our posture is so different. What's our posture as we're approaching the Word of God? Let me give you one last illustration of what it is to look into God's Word, because we celebrated his life yesterday. When looking at Harvey's Bible, you have no question that he'd love to study God's Word. Every page is marked up like that, and he had a Bible dictionary next to it that's way thicker than the Bible. And it has corresponded highlights, so whatever his scheme was, bless his heart, he knew it. But you could look at one to the other, and the man studied it. And it should be a challenge to us. When you start watching somebody mark up and examine God's Word, we need to let God's Word act like a mirror and tell us the truth that we don't want to hear, but we need to hear. So we can adjust ourselves and to live by God's Word, not our own life. See, there's someone here today that's just plain a head knowledge with God. And he wants a heart knowledge too. And that's the difference between it being a hearer and a doer, is to say, God, it's just not enough to know and understand salvation, but it's a whole other dimension to put my faith in whatever I experience to say, lead my life, be my only way to save my life. I trust in you, Jesus, you alone. See, that, and we'll discover in weeks ahead, gives us a gateway to what a pure, loving religion is all about. See, when you surrender your heart to Christ, what happens is it's not just you saying, I want to go to heaven and not hell, but it's really, God, I care about you. You care about me. I want to grow in who you are. Too many who are hearers only will say just enough, pray just enough, so that they feel like they're okay enough to go to heaven. And that's not the relationship that Jesus ever wanted us to have. It's not why he went to the cross. It's not why he rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. It's not why he's sitting right hand of God the Father. He did it so that you could have direct access, a direct relationship with God. That's the hope that we celebrate today. That is the message today from James. It's a true test of faith that God, we will be a heart follower of Christ Jesus. The heart of a Christ follower is a heart that looks intently and says, God, ever since I met you, my life has changed. And the more I come to you, the more blessed I find myself. The more I line up my life with your word and doing it, the more blessings that I have. I can't count them all. May we not follow into the game that so many in America has done of doing their worship on Sunday and then come Monday doing their own business, when every day needs to be our worship and business of his business in our life, and everything else becomes around that. So this morning, do you have a genuine, authentic faith with the evidence of a life of obedience? The true indicator will be just not the one who says they believe, but the one who lives what they believe. If believers are not careful, we can confuse knowing God's truth and living in God's truth. Do you have a saving faith today? Do you have a live faith? That's our question. If our worship team could come, I just want to encourage you to take a moment this morning. If you're here today and you do not know that Jesus is, and what he's done if you could honestly look at your life today and say, you know what, I'm looking at my life, and it's a lot more of hearing than doing. If you can look at your life and go, I'm not even sure if I'm doing that, I just want to encourage you today to know that we have a Heavenly Father that loves you. And the whole point of what James shares on this is James didn't want us to be disillusioned as believers. That as we go through temptations, as we go through life, as we go through trials, that we most certainly will, we have a God that's with us and for us. And he wanted us to be able to be anchored in a hope that will not fade because of the temperature of a particular trial or temptation that you're going through. You will have a God that's with you through every part of it. And his power to be with you, his presence and power to draw you out will be as displayed, as real as he is. It will happen in your life to the degree of your faith. But will you be a doer is the question today. So this morning, my challenge to you, if you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, may you take this moment to say, yes, I do. I need to know that he is my leader of my life. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for not leaving me helpless and giving up on me. Forgive me of my sin. Doing things my own way, and giving me warnings. Come into my life. Be my leader. Lead my life. Be my Savior. My only way to heaven. I trust in you. Do a new work in my life. I give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, so excited for you. Heaven declares it like angels partying. There's a celebration that's so raucous, it makes Lambo pale in comparison. It's a moment that we felt as we were concluding worship, as we were singing how holy God is. Angels begin to sing. The music begins to play in heaven. It rocks the place. That's what happened because of your decision today. And we want to walk with you. And so I encourage you, before you leave here this morning, we have a New Testament that we could give you and some great helps. So don't leave here. Make sure you capture Pastor Aaron, Pastor Stacy, or myself, one of our board members. We would love to walk with you on that and get that to you. It's free to help you walk in that new relationship. Would you stand with me? I feel like it's so fitting for us as followers of Christ that we examine ourselves. We take a moment to say, God, how is my faith with you doing? Are you just hearing? Because honestly, I'm speaking for myself. It's easy to go through seasons where it's easy to become a hearer only and not a doer. And God wants so much more. Don't fall into that habit. It's so easy to go there. And just to renew ourselves before him today. So I love the song that the worship team is going to play in a moment, Refiner's Fire. God, refine it. Speak to me in your word today. What's areas that you're convicting me of? And some of those you're already thinking of them. So just say, God, I give it to you. Let's do that and have that moment before we go to our potluck. Can we do that? Heavenly Father, you actively demonstrate every day your unconditional and selfless love for us every day. So Lord, I pray you help us all, help me to love others in word, action, and deed. Lord, protect us from the deception of knowing your word, but not obeying it. Make me, God, aware of my actions and behaviors that might misrepresent you, to really letting you explosively live in my life. Lord, we just pray, teach us to love like Jesus did. May we walk like Jesus did. And Lord, we pray your help and your power, and your your presence to refine us and guide us so that we have a true test of faith, a faith that's living, exciting, and alive. In Jesus' name.